This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for the right payments API, check out the Braintree V.0 SDK. With one simple integration, your customers get every way to pay. To learn more and try out the sandbox, go to braintreepayments.com/morningstream.
So I won't have a lady in my apartment.
Coming up on TMS, Wet Hot American Things.
Fun with Alibaba.
How hateful are the eight?
George doesn't know how it ends.
Lion King gets a spinoff.
China Air is bad.
We take your live calls.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Junk food, you're losing your grip.
Sorry, kids. I guess I'm whipped.
That's because you don't eat the right things.
If you want to feel good, you gotta eat good food.
Yeah, like delicious Campbell's soup. It's great. That way you won't be skating on thin ice.
Looks like I got the tail end of the deal.
I love my Campbell's soup. It's good food.
Yet fun for the children.
The Morning Stream, because knowing is half the battle.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for Thursday, August 13th, 2015. Mm-hmm. My name is Scott. He's Brian.
I am.
Hi, Brian.
Indeed.
Hi, Brian.
By the way, yeah. If you're searching for this show, yeah. Don't search for T-T-M-M-S-S-S-S like in our theme.
You think we've got a... There's some confusion there. We should probably... Hey, yeah. Eric, redo that one, you you dirtball. It's funny. I played Heroes with him last night, and he... I just gotten back from the dentist. He had to get a crown replaced because I guess he had a root canal go south got all infected and stuff. So that's real fun. And he played a little grumpy. That's all I'm saying. Just played a little grumpy.
Mm.
Yeah. Asthma Dan wasn't quite the cheery little, primeval of sin that he used to be.
Wait, are you saying that there's a cheerful Eric Van Skyhawk?
Yeah, he exists. He's down there deep. You can get him out sometimes. You have to lure him out with like Pro Tools techno free samples. And
there's a new Pro Tools update.
Yeah. Yay! I'm so happy.
Yeah. I miss him. It's been, a couple Nerdtaculars since we've seen him, right?
Yeah, he was supposed to come this year, and last minute stuff came up and couldn't come. But he's, still out there, still kicking it. I'm still not convinced that App Slappy is dead forever. There may come a time where that thing gets a little reboot, retouch. I don't know.
Sure.
I miss
it.
He's working with Eric's good times. And he also says funny things, like he can't say Chipotle. Have I told you about that before?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, let's
Chipotle
have him,
or something like that, right?
Let's have him try it. It's right here, I think.
The American...
Nope, that's Donald Trump.
Hold on. Can Donald Trump say Chipotle, by the way?
Chipotle. Oh, you know what? Here it is. He can say China. That's the only one I know about. Mm. Let's see. Eric, here we go. Here we go. Nope.
I can't imagine, that he'd want to say anything that's related to those Mexicans.
I can't...
Americans can...
Nope.
Pull up a chair.
Nope. I can't find it.
That's all right. That's
anyway, all right. You know he says it wrong because
I sent
know.
You down a rabbit hole that I probably shouldn't have.
It was a path I couldn't come back from. Brian, we have a show to do. There's some changes today in the formatting in the programming.
Okay. Oh God! Oh God! Well, what are we gonna do?
Well, all right. Let me bring it down a notch or two and let you know that Wendy won't be here to solve your problems. She's in London. She has no internet connection where she is and is still traveling with her family and is not available today. So we will not have Therapy Thursday. Now, before you hang up and leave the show.
Oh, I'm done.
All right. Before
later.
Before you storm out of the booth, let me just fill you in on a couple of other things. Also, yesterday, we both offered and threatened in some people's minds. I got an email yesterday saying the jury's too cocky. That's what somebody said.
He's too cocky.
And I said, I don't think you know jury very well. Well, I didn't tell him this, but I'll tell him if he's listening now, I think I should explain this. He thinks he's conceited and sort of full of himself and all of this. And I don't think they have the true measure of the man. Because, look, jury has a certain radio persona at times that I guess if you see it purely on the surface and know nothing else about him, you might go, oh, that must be exactly who he is.
Right.
He is one of the softest teddy bear like people I've ever known.
Sure.
And he just hides it well when you just get the surface. So all I'm saying is give peace a chance. Oh, I know, right? It's a message. Okay, so he won't be here either because he texted me this morning and said about 6 a.m. and said, I'm on a late flight. I'm screwed up. I'll be on a plane when this thing happens. So he will not be here
for
the news.
No Wendy.
No. But instead.
This will be the first Thursday that ends on time.
That's what I was thinking. Instead, I'm here to give you two pieces of great news. First purse of great news. First purse.
First person great news.
First
sure.
person great news. FP.
GM.
GM. Yeah, N, right. Is that I started watching, well, I'll tell you this bit first. I started watching Wet Hot American Summer, the show.
Right, the Netflix TV show.
Yeah, the thing that we committed on FilmSack to do as a, not yeah. as a group and in real time, but as a group and then we would talk about it.
Right,
Some people want us to do it per episode. I say it's the entire series. We're not doing that. That's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be, because there's going to be so many people who don't care about that show.
Yeah.
And at least with FilmSack, it's like, oh, you know, I don't care about Troll 2. I'll just go to the next episode of FilmSack.
Exactly. Not the next 12 to find when we stop talking about
yes.
it. So Kim started watching it, which is what made me go, oh, wait, I'm supposed to watch this. I guess I'll watch it with you. Because she's very interested. And man, I will give them some big credit on one point. They got the not only did they get that whole original cast back,
mm-hmm.
many of whom have moved on to much higher places.
Right. Yeah.
And yet there they are humbly doing the thing they didn't need to commit to doing again.
It's like they've got some sort of blackmail, right?
Yeah,
like they've got something on them.
Yeah. Like
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
What they got on you, man?
Yeah. Like
get something.
Charlie Daniels on the stump playing his fiddle with the devil or something. Something happened there.
But you know what? They've got Bradley Cooper's involved in that new Limitless TV show, right? The series that's starting this fall.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
As Bradley Cooper. And
what's he doing in it? Is he in it, like acting in it, or is he just producing?
He's acting in it.
Oh.
It's like...
weird.
It's almost like the handoff, right? Like mm-hmm. he's the TV show, the movie to TV show handoff baton guy.
Oh, right. Because, okay, no, I now remember the thing you're talking about. Because that was his movie.
That was his movie where he took the drugs and all of a sudden he was...
clairvoyant or whatever.
Right, exactly.
So in this thing, he's gonna pass the baton on to some other doofus who will be the show guy.
Right. The new doofus is Aaron Ayan.
Got it.
I think. I don't know.
A name you'll... A name
trying to look
that
at
we'll,
the picture of the...
Maybe we'll all remember that name one day.
Yeah, trying to look at the photo here of the TV show. I can't tell who that guy is.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Wellington
at
Barrientos.
Sure,
sure.
That's so good,
Brody.
That's really good in butter, by the way. The first thing.
Some Wellington Barrientos.
Oh,
yeah.
So good, dude. Spain. Look what you've brought to the culinary world. Yeah.
Anyway, Wet Hot American Summer.
So anyway, Wet Hot American Summer. All these people in it, and not only those people, but then a ton of other people that didn't have any reason to be in this. Kristen Wiig. Who played Frasier's brother on Frasier?
David Hyde Pierce.
He's in it.
Wow.
A bunch of West Wingers are in it. Freaking Richard Schiff, who played is it Richard Schiff? Anyway, played Toby on West Wing, is in it.
Mm.
Seems kind of briefly, but still there. Freaking Christopher Pine, movies, our new Captain Kirk from Star Trek movies.
Oh,
he's in
really?
It. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, what the crap?
That's a huge get.
And it's across the board. Two key Mad Men actors, both Flattery and Slattery.
Slattery.
Flattery. Shit. You know, one of the highest forms of slattery is when you say it wrong. And then Ham. Bob Ham. What's
John Ham?
John Ham. Bob Ham. John Ham is in it. And they're all up in it. And like,
do
it's,
you even watch Mad Men, bro?
I haven't actually since season two, so I need to catch up. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, you do.
So it is this big, I mean, it's an extravaganza of people. Amy Poehler back. Everybody's back. They're all in it, and they're all doing it. Paul Rudd, who doesn't age, by the way. I don't know what's going on with him. Like, the whole conceit is awesome because they were already kind of faking it back when the movie was made in, like, 2002 or whatever, when they said, oh, yeah, these are all people who are just out of high school or 17 or 18. But, you know, the cast of The State is clearly in their late 20s or early 30s. But it's kind of funny that they're playing kind of high school age. And it's set in the 80s, and it's kind of a riff on that whole, like, genre, you know, meatballs and that kind of stuff.
Here's the question, though.
Yeah.
Is it funny?
All right, Brian. I didn't like the movie, as you know.
Right. Oh, I know.
Now, Randy's playing some weird card out of his deck that says, I've come around on it. I call bullcrap, because he was the most vocally against that movie when it came out. I think he's pandering to the audience. We'll have our war on FilmSack about it. Don't worry.
Right.
But he seems to be turning around on it. All of us walked away from Wet Hot American Summer feeling like two things. One, that it wasn't as good as everyone said. But two, maybe it's just generational. When that movie came out, I'm in my early 20s or late 20s. People who really are into it are in their late teens, early 20s. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just a different, you know, different. It's ringing with them differently. It's like Goonies or Time Bandits. You and I love those movies.
Right.
But you show them to some kid today and they're like, what the hell is this?
Somebody sees it now. It's like, okay, yeah, that's a little on the cheesy side, man.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm willing to admit all of that. And I'm fine with it. I was going to live with it or whatever. And then this news about the series came. So I thought, all right, we'll give this a shot. Mm-hmm. Here's my takeaway after four, maybe five episodes. I think is how far I am in. Oh, by the way, you find out why John J. Benjamin is the voice of a can of vegetables or whatever.
Well, they explain why he's the voice of a can?
Literally explain it. Like, he's in the show. I don't want to spoil it.
Right. Yeah, see him as a character in the previews, like, he actually is talking.
Let's just say something happens to him and he becomes a can of soup. That's all I'm saying. Or whatever it is. Right. Soup or whatever it is.
Right.
Anyway, so it's exactly tonally like the show or like the movie. It feels like the movie. I mean, it really feels in almost every way like the movie. The setting, the clothes, the hairstyles, the actors, obviously, they're all older. And that's the best part, because now these people are in their mid-40s and they're all playing 17, 18. It's amazing.
Wow.
Like, Amy Poehler is supposed to be like 16 years old. I can't remember the one guy's actor's name. There's a couple of actors in here that are like, they're older than me.
And right, they're playing teenagers.
They're playing 17 years old. And it's all very, you know, tongue-in-cheek, obvious.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But it's great. That part, I really like how they pulled that off. I'll say this, though. It's still kind of ridiculous and still kind of, I think it's still not my kind of humor. Like, they go too far with, like, just silly for me. And I like silly, but this is kind of silly. It's not really my thing. But here's the thing. I'm not laughing out loud or anything. But I'm really in. Like, I really want to see what happens next.
So could something like this, if it's done well, if it's done successfully, affect your opinion of the original movie?
Possibly, yes. Because as silly as it sounds, this is a prequel.
Right.
And what they're doing is they're setting up all these, and they're very much playing on that. So if you've seen the movie, in fact, I think it's crucial you've seen the movie.
You have to. Yeah.
Because there are moments where you'll go, like Chris Pelini's, or Malini, what's his name? SVU guy, Christopher Malini.
Pelini? Oh, Christopher Maloney.
Maloney. That guy. Maloney. Boy, I just filled up somebody's bingo card.
Nicole's bingo card, probably, right?
Yeah, probably.
So far with Bob Hamm, John Flattery, and Christopher Maloney.
So anyway, starring in. So you get his origin story, and you get it slowly over a number of episodes, and it's really a great payoff. Like, the end of that is super, super rad and totally dumb. Like, don't get me wrong. Everything is kind of dumb, but I don't know what it is. I think it's a combination of them being slavishly true to the original, like, and I don't mean just like, ha ha, this is kind of like that. No, it is exactly like that. And then secondly, so for good or for ill, like, they've owned up to it, right? The actors, the fact that they got this stable of all these people, Jason Schwartzman and freaking Weird Al Yankovic, and people have won like Emmys and you know, like, really important actors, and then the Oscar winners, they're all like in this thing, not getting too much screen time or pretending they're better than anybody else. Like, it's as if it's happening in a different dimension.
It's probably, you know, and it's funny because you don't see a lot of this earlier, right? When people were A-list stars, they did A-list things and they didn't lower themselves to do B-list things.
Right, correct.
But you're seeing so much more of this now, and it's probably kind of like a little bit of a vacation for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more so than we probably think, right? Because they're going to do this in a camp setting. So it's kind of like going to do some Groundlings stuff again with all of your old Groundlings and Second City buddies.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all the people from the state.
Yeah.
It's all the people, because I think they're half the writers and all that stuff anyway. By the way, Michael Ian Black's starting to look a little weird. I'm just putting that out there.
Is he really?
Yeah. But he's also playing like 17, which is great. Anyway, I guess I really like it. I think I still don't think it's very funny, though.
It's
like that's the, I guess I'm still having that same problem. So with the original movie, it's kind of like, okay, well, here's a bunch of people who weren't big yet. We didn't even have Alias for what's his name yet. Like Bradley Cooper wasn't even a name yet. So, okay, no one knew Amy Poehler. Like these are just people. A few SN, you know, you had Banks, Molly Shannon, you know, who's, by the way, 50, but looks 67. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
I love her, though. She's great in this.
I do, too. Molly Shannon's great.
Superstar. You learn a lot about her character in this. But anyway, you see all of this in the old way, and you go, oh, okay, well, that wasn't very funny. I don't understand why this generation thinks that's so great, blah, 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 move on. To see them all come back and literally step down from their high heights and then do this again and do it so true to the original, there's something really great about that. And I can't quite put my finger on it. There's a funness about it. There's a freeness to it. It almost is. It's almost emblematic of the new reality in TV now, which is Netflix can make great original programming and it's outside the studio systems and it can be free and open and commercial free and there's no limits. And like there's something about all of that that just feels really weirdly revolutionary. And for some reason, this show, more than any of the others they have that's all original programming, for some reason, it feels more emblematic of that than even like Orange is the New Black or freaking, you know, House of Cards or any of that stuff. And I don't know why, because I still don't think it's very funny. It's not funny. It's not like, oh my gosh, this, what a laugh riot I just had.
It's not laugh out loud funny, but it's humorous.
Yeah, I feel like it's weird. It feel like they're being very personal with this. And something about that is very appealing to me.
Interesting.
So,
all right,
that's cool. My take
I'm
so
in.
Far.
I can't wait to watch it for FilmSack anyway. I mean, we were already in because we knew we were going to have to do it.
Yeah.
I watched Skeleton Twins last night.
Wait, what's this? Oh, the
Kristen Wiig, Bill Hader movie.
How was that?
That's a laugh riot, let me tell you.
Is it?
It's not.
Okay. I hear it's a little depressing.
Well, it's two very serious roles for the two of them. However, they totally inject their style of comedy in it. And you can, again, it's kind of that same thing that I expect Wet Hot American Summer, the TV show, is, where there are these moments where it feels like it's Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig playing brother and sister, but also kind of going back to, I'm sure, what the writer's room was like in SNL back in the heyday of those two's career. You know, where they're just playing off of each other. And
can you imagine hanging out with those two? Oh my gosh.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
Yeah. Like a meeting with them, like just in a boardroom. Oh my gosh.
You could be, you know, they would treat you as an equal, yet you'd still feel like you're an outsider because you'd just be sitting there watching the two of them like they're on TV, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, would you like some pizza? I'm just watching, guys. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. It's amazing. I want to see that movie now because
really good.
Is it like that weird, like what I don't want out of it is like that weird Jim Carrey made for TV movie where he was like a drug addicted son and never made a single joke the entire time. I mean, there is some humor in this, right?
There is some humor in it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some humor in it. You'll find it enjoyable. You won't feel like, oh my God, that was so damn depressing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Punch Drunk Love for Adam Sandler or trying to think of other good examples of that. I mean, it is a very, it's a movie with mostly serious performances by those two. However, there's comedy bits that kind of alleviate the tension and sadness.
Amazing. Well, yeah. I'm going to watch it then.
And Luke Wilson is actually one of the funniest things in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, good. I like Luke Wilson. He's the of the Wilsons. He's my favorite, I think.
Oh, really? Is your favorite Wilson?
I like him more than Owen. I lean more Owen. I like Owen. You know, he's all right. He's fine. It's you know, whatever.
You
I think it depends.
Luke. It's fine. You can prefer Luke.
It depends on the role, I suppose.
Okay,
Brian, I have one more thing to share with you, and then we're going to call Daryl.
Sure.
What was it? Oh yeah.
It's in the notes right there.
Yeah,
it's
right
the
there.
Second
right.
thing listed.
I could just read that there.
You could just read it, and you'd know what you're talking.
The things I learned. So yesterday on DTNS, I'm on the Wednesday crew for that, and we had a lovely episode, and we were talking to Anthony Carboni, who was our guest recently back from Nerdtacular, and he was great, of course, and he had recommendation to, we were talking about Alibaba.com, which is the Chinese giant, like Amazon-like
Amazon, right,
thing. Man, that is a weird place. I've gone down a rabbit hole that I don't think I can get out of, exactly. And yesterday I posted a bunch of tweets that showed kind of what I had run into, and I'll just share a couple of these with you, okay? Because I think these are interesting. So here's one. I was searching for hair extensions. I wanted to see if you could just buy hair extensions.
Sure. Sure.
Because you can get those on Amazon and other places. They just look like, you know, human hair that it's whatever, and you put it on the back of your head, and now you got more hair, right?
Sure.
I guess that's what women do. And it's even in their home products, beauty and personal care, hair extensions and wigs, and hair extensions categories. That's the breadcrumb trail. Here's the description. This is, and I want to tell you this, this is true of almost everything I found on Alibaba yesterday.
Right.
They're all written like this. And this is for you as an American to go. It's an English site to go purchase right. things.
This is not targeted towards the Chinese viewer of the site. It's targeted towards the mm-hmm. the American viewer.
That's exactly right. So here's your hair extensions. It's called. Here's the description. It's some brand called Rue something something. Anyway, it's a lovely photo of the product. And it says here, customized OEM portable and endurable vagina sex virgin human hair in Dubai with hair. Okay. And then,
well,
but
they
everything.
Want to make sure they capture every search term that you could possibly look, be looking at.
Yeah. And you had to get, there's a minimum order of one piece. You can get as many as 100,000 pieces. And uh-huh. it's all the other info you expect, bunch of photos showing various angles on it. But that description. It's like, I wonder what's up, right?
But vagina is listed in that listing.
Yeah. So then I searched for Nightwing because, according to Anthony, I could get a Nightwing costume very cheaply.
Oh, okay.
For Halloween.
Is that something you've been thinking about?
Well, I thought about it because we were thinking about going as Teen Titans here at the house. And Nick would be Beast. Yeah. I'd be Nightwing because I don't want to be Robin.
Beast Boy.
Yeah, Beast Boy, sorry. Carter wants to be the Green Girl. I forgot her name. Anyway, we don't know if we'll do it, but I just looked it up, and I just searched for the word Nightwing.
Okay.
Top two results, and the top one is not the one I wanted, but here's the top result. Charming girl, open bust, sexy see-through, nude baby doll, woman sexy nude nightwear, young girl's sexy nightwear, latest women Nightwing. Okay, that's the description.
Wow, okay.
And then the next one is the hot... Game Arkham City male version of Nightwing costume cosplay men's clothing. Mm. The descriptions, I think, aren't really descriptions. They feel like tag word clouds to me.
Yeah, it totally does. You know? That's exactly what it is. I mean, you know, you want to do a search for, I'm looking for open bust sexy see-through.
Right.
Let's see. Where.
And then I'll get suckered into buying like a, you know, a photo frame or something. Like, for example, here's one in home products, gifts and crafts, home decoration, frames. All right? And it's this lovely, let's see, about 9 little round frames that hang from like what looks like a family tree kind of arrangement. So maybe you'd have your whole family in there. But the example photo has a little baby in every one of them, a little baby. It's very lovely. Here's your description. China hot sex nude Korean girl 12P family tree collage photo frame.
So you can put 12 little pictures of sexy nude underage girls.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what 12P means. 12 photos?
Pieces.
Oh, 12 pieces. I guess
pieces,
it is 12.
Sure.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And that's the other irony. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are only 8 in the photo, but there's a 12P in the thing.
Sure. There's eight little frames, but the thing that holds them is a piece. There's probably a base that's a piece.
Oh, good point. So there's 12 pieces to put together.
Right.
Oh, all right. And you have to get 50 pieces minimum. You have to buy 50 of these items to even get going. But man, it sure is disappointing from a China hot nude sex Korea girl point of
view.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Anyway, Alibaba, dude.
Now you've got me looking at the site and I'm not sure what I'm seeing with some of these things.
That's my point. I'm telling you, and you can get just about anything and you look at stuff and you see how cheap it is, even the stuff that's not descripted bad. And you're like, oh, I can buy a car for $12. And then you start to realize, wait, some slavish factory full of people making 50 cents a day are making these things. I feel like Alibaba's, there's something dark in there. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Amazon, I don't feel that way so much. Not nearly as much. So anyway, good luck to them.
There's some things that they call, cosplay that I might actually say is bondage.
No judgment.
Be what I'm thinking.
You hit cosplay, and they have some interesting things like realistic dinosaur. Like, you've seen some of those running around where it's like a dude's feet in the bottom, and like that'd be kind of fun. You can buy them for $3,500. Good Lord. But then you scroll down a bit, and you're like, oh, there's another lovely one. And then you get to hot selling synthetic Elsa hair cosplay, nude cosplay, woman Korean nude Elsa.
Oh boy.
What? Who looks at that and know and thinks that all worked out?
I don't know. Wow, there are some pretty impressive cosplay, like pretty impressive
You can get
Spider-Man. There's like a Future Foundation Wow.
Well, as I'm saying that there are treasures
to be
found.
Gems to be had.
Yeah. Treasures to be
had. You don't know what you're going to get. Yeah. And boy, like if it's wrong returning it, come on now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't trust any of this stuff.
Yeah.
$80,000. Oh, what is this? Yeah, sorry. I don't have $5,000 for a dinosaur. Anyway, fun stuff.
All right.
Good times.
Okay.
Good times.
Good. Done.
Alibaba. Well. Done. We've had our fun with it. I'll use Amazon for the foreseeable future. And I thought people would enjoy that, though. I just had never gone. I'd always heard about it. You're like, oh, Alibaba is taking the world by storm. They're going public. They're going to do this, or they're the biggest thing in Japan or China, blah, blah, blah. And you always want to know how the other end of the world works. But some of that stuff is some dark market. That's all I'm saying. Dark market. Kind of like this guy coming up. Darkest markets. All right, settle in. It's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by
reasonably priced dog-friendly hotels while traveling across country. Yeah, right. Ben and Jersey are traveling from London, Canada to Seattle, Washington to their new home. If you think you can give them a dog-friendly place to stay in Indianapolis, Kansas City, Denver, or Salt Lake City between August 31st and September 4th, please email Ben, B-E-N, at bendelano.ca.
All right, Daryl.
I hope he's getting some contacts.
I
hope people
so,
are
too.
Talking to him and helping him out.
That would be nice. Daryl, are you there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, fantastic. It's good to have you here. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. You sound great. I always love the sound of his beard rubbing against his microphone.
I know.
I don't know what that is.
It makes me feel comfortable. There's something about it. It's very comforting. Like you could just rub up against Daryl and be comforted. Right. Daryl, it's time for Stump a Trek Nerd, but today is our final day of Stump a Futurama Nerd. And it turns out it's nerds because we all have to try to answer this one together. It's been very fun. I don't have a good theme. Oh, actually, I found something you might like here today. This is more general, but I thought Daryl would like it. So let me just pull it up here. Take me just a moment. Here we go. Okay, that's not it. Wonderful. Okay, here it is. Play it for you now. Here you go. There you go.
Nice.
It was long. It was longer. Longer than I remember it being. Anyway,
it's like them sitting in the orchestral studio getting ready to record the Star Trek theme, and this is the woman saying, "Here's what I'd like it to sound like."
Oh, it is a bit
just
like
do
that.
This with a do this with the what should we call it, the theremin.
Yeah, I know the one.
Thermarin.
Number two.
Oh, not that. We don't want to play that. Let's ask you this question. Let's ask all of us this question. It is a episode called Jurassic Bark. This is the episode that makes my daughter cry every time she watches it.
Yeah.
And punch me in the leg when I look at her. Here we go. In the episode Jurassic Bark, they find Fry's dog Seymour in a museum exhibit in Panunzi's Pizza, where Fry used to work. Am I saying that right? I probably remember.
Panucci.
Is it Panucci? Yeah, Panucci's Pizza. That's right. It goes to a flashback and shows a kid complaining there is a dog hair in his pizza. Mr. Panucci says the hair is something else. What does he say it is? Is it cannellini? B, fettellini? C, cappellini? Or D, vermicellini?
Vermicelli.
Vermicelli. Vermicelli. Yes. Oh, shit. I struggled on that one. Vermicelli. So cappellini, fettellini, cannellini, or vermicelli. Or vermicelli.
Vermicelli.
Is you sure it's celli?
Pretty sure it's vermicelli, yeah.
All right. I don't know. I think these freaking Italians with their lack of H's. I don't get it. Anyway, there's that. There's your options. Let's figure it out together. But before we do... Yeah, damn it. Before we do... can't find the thing. There. Daryl has Today in Trek History.
I'm very bad. I didn't get one for today.
Oh no. So nothing
happened
today.
I'm gonna try to do it. Let's see, where do I go for this? Now I'm in a big rush and my brain doesn't work and I can't click on things.
Yeah. How about this? Here, I'll give you something. Let's see here. This is no good. Never mind. Oh, someone died. Someone died recently, a couple days ago. Who was a prominent character actor in all the Star Treks?
And oh, really?
Yeah, and I was thinking you would bring it up, and then I forgot to mention it, and then nobody mentioned it, and now I don't remember his name. So this is probably a big waste of time. Actually, I could look up in the news, I guess. Star Trek actor dead. Star Trek actor died.
Oh, Kevin Teague or Tig or whatever from Emergency. He was born today, and he was on Star Trek. Hmm.
I found it. Terrence Evans. He was also in Terminator 2. He was 81. Let's see. He was in Terminator 2 Judgment Day, also in Clint Eastwood's Pale Rider. Evans graduated Pittsburgh. Blah, blah, blah. I don't care about that. Okay, let's see. He was also in two of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre films. Wow. Played the older version of the character in Marcus Nispel's remake of the younger version in the original Massacre or the beginning. Evans is made exclusive. Here we go. He played three characters over the course of Star Trek Deep Space Nine and Voyager, as well as stints on ER, The A-Team, Golden Girls, Las Vegas, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, not to be confused with just the regular Prince of Bel-Air, and The Incredible Hulk. His last movies are credited as Bigfoot the Movie and The Exquisite Continent. He's survived by his wife, two children, two stepchildren, one grandson. If you saw this guy's face, you might recognize him, so I'm going to stick it in the chat, and you can play Who's This Guy. He's a little old there, but if you look at other photos of him, you'd recognize him. Anyway, Star Trek guy.
Aw.
So there you go. Today in Star Trek history is a sad one. Daryl, you were saying something and I cut you off with that. What were you saying? You said, oh, there's a something, and then I cut you off.
Yeah, Kevin, how do you say it? Kevin Teague?
Teague? I think it's Teague.
That guy from Emergency?
Mm-hmm.
He was born today in 1944.
Wait, Emergency? The one?
Uh-huh. He played Catherine Janeway's father.
Was he the doctor in Emergency?
Yeah, one of the main guys.
Okay. Oh, one of the main two guys.
Yeah.
Kevin Teague. Hold on.
Let's see if I can.
Teague.
Roy DeSoto. That's who he was.
Let's see. Oh, that guy. Lost, Brian. He's Locke's dad in Lost.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like him.
He's great, that guy.
Yes. The man from Tallahassee.
Even cooler as he got older, I think.
Yeah.
He was a bit of a Boy Scout in Emergency.
He plays such a bad guy on Lost.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. One of the more memorable roles of that entire series, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that guy really killed it. All right. Well, there you go. Good times. There's our stuff. Back to our question. Where do you guys lean? I have no idea. I don't remember him saying this.
Well, vermicelli is Italian for little worms. It's spaghetti. It's really fine spaghetti.
Oh, I figured it was a joke about vermin.
Well, that's where the name comes from, I think.
Oh, does it?
Or no, not vermin, but verm. Verm is the...
Oh. You know. See, I figured it was like vermin, like dog hair would be like vermin, or you know what I mean? Like a rat or whatever.
Right. So my leaning would be vermicelli.
Brian, do you
Cappellini, have a... So cannellini, I think, is thick. Like it's big, thick noodles, like even tube-style noodles.
She was great.
I don't know what fettuccine is.
She was really good in Freaks and Geeks. Really liked her.
She was, yes, yeah. And as Velma and... in Scooby-Doo movies.
Oh, that's right. She was Velma.
Yeah.
I feel like an idiot.
Linda Cannellini.
Yeah, yes, she was Linda Cannellini. She was great.
Cappellini, I think, is also wide flat noodles. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wish I could remember.
Mm.
Wow, apparently Twitch is just going crazy. People are saying it's like the TMS remix. Like it's skipping and jumbling.
I'm
and
trying to fix it.
I like this way in the background.
I know.
Damn it. Hold on. Sorry, chat. Hang on. Okay, now maybe it's okay. I don't know. All right, Daryl, do you have a leaning?
Well, we got lots of leanies.
Yeah.
So what was the first cat? Is it cat or cat?
Cannellini.
Oh, can. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was the third. Well, what's the third one?
Cappellini.
Oh, can and cap. I think Ice Worm is trying to confuse us by having two similar things.
Mm. You think neither of those are right, or one of them is and one is not?
I think one of them is and one's a distraction.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
But I don't remember at all. So, vermicelli or vermicelli?
Vermicelli.
Yeah. Vermicelli.
So you're leaning towards that, Brian.
I am too, but only because I can hear that Panucci guy say that word more in my head.
Vermicelli.
Yeah,
I'm leaning towards vermicelli.
Maybe I'll... Oh, I was in trouble yesterday when I did this, but maybe I'll do it again.
See what happens when you listen to Brian.
Yeah.
So if I were to choose between Catalini and Cannellini...
Well, there's no Catalini. There's Cap.
Oh, Cap. Okay,
cap, as in
right.
You wear a baseball cap.
Cap and can.
Yeah.
I don't know. If it was only Cap and can, which one would you guys choose?
I would choose Capellini. Because I know Cannellini is like the stuffed...
Oh, was it?
Okay.
I think it's like...
I thought that was cannoli.
Well, cannoli... Yeah, is but that's not pasta. Cannoli is a bread thing that's stuffed.
Oh, it is? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, cannellini, I want to say, is like the, I could be wrong, but it's like the, what do they use for, let's see, there's tortellini. What's the stuff they use for the really large stuffed tubes?
Hot dogs?
I can't remember, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Come on.
Chat I'm room. Not going to click the pasta dictionary, Jeannie. I'll click it after this. Manicotti. That's right.
Manicotti
is the big stuffed one.
Yeah.
But I think cannellini is similar to that.
Yeah, yeah.
If it was between those two, I would choose cappellini.
Whew, okay. So last time... I went with what you said, and I was wrong. So this time I'm going to listen to that experience and learn from it and choose cannellini, even though it makes no sense.
All right. I'm going vermicelli as well, because I can hear him saying it for some reason. But let's find out who's right by clicking this. And then we click the link, and the answer is... Oh, okay, I'll tell you who got it right. Two of us got it right.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
One of us got it wrong. Vermicelli. He says it's vermicelli. He allows Seymour to swim in the pasta sauce. I wonder how many health codes Benucci's pizza had violated. Here's a clip of all that happening.
Yo, there's dog fur on my slice.
Nah, that's vermicelli. No fur in here.
He's so cute. He can do two things at one time. Eat and swim. Ooh, three things.
So, wasn't this the show? Maybe I'm thinking of South Park. George Clooney played the barking dog at something. Was it South Park? I think it was South Park.
South Park, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't want to mix those up. Anyway, congratulations to me and Brian. So sad to Daryl. May your day, though, be filled with weird-sounding Italian food. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And now he'll play a game with us called what?
Star Trek Fish or Actual Fish.
Okay, here's a clip.
Have you ever engaged in a duel?
All right, go.
Is that from Airplane? Okay.
You like Gladiator movies?
Yeah. Blue Gourami.
Blue gourami?
Blue gourami. That's a real fish. That's
blue gourami.
It's like a little, it's an aquarium fish.
Okay. Oh, you've heard of this before then?
I've heard of this before.
I used to be into that whole scene when I was young.
Gouramis are. I don't know about a blue one. Maybe it's a right turn, right?
Where it's it could, yeah, they say, oh, the Vulcan ones are blue, the Vulcan gourami.
Right. But I would assume that if there's a gourami, there's gonna be a blue one anyway.
That's true. They'd make it more weird, like, well, on our planet we have the six-eyed gouramis.
Right.
And not just the blue ones. So yeah, I'm gonna agree. Blue, that sounds like real fish to me.
Yep, blue gourami, real fish.
Real fish.
Okay. This is a 6-inch aquarium fish from the planet Southeast Asia.
Oh, I see what you're about to try to do there. That was very creative. Nicely done. Tricky, but we got it right. I feel good about today.
I do too.
We won everything.
We did. We won all the things.
Go home, losers.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by
The Instance, where tomorrow you can hear us hem and haw, so you don't have to.
Yeah, we're going to probably talk about why people are upset about the announcement. Not the announcement itself, but the way the stage Q&A was handled. I don't think it was that big a deal. Players right now are looking for reasons to just jump on negativity, and I don't know why. I don't get it. Like, if you're not into it, go play something else. I don't get it.
Did they even like brush on the question, will you be able to fly in the, what is it, the Lost Isles, Broken Isles?
Now that you mention that, I'm not sure. It seems like a question that probably would have come up, but it felt like a lot of the questions were also vetted before, so I'm not sure.
Sure. And it's probably too early for them to say whether or not. You know.
I think the expectation is they'll implement something similar to what they did with Draenor, which is this unlockable achievement-y based thing, which still hasn't been patched in. You still can't fly.
Yeah, well, I'm still not even anywhere near coming close to completing the achievement. So
I'm not either. Well, I may be closer than I think. I haven't looked, but I haven't cared as much lately.
Yeah, there's also so many sub-achievements that need to be... I don't know which of the sub-achievements I've already completed.
Right. Plus, Tassadar's not going to play himself in Heroes of the Storm, people. All right? I have to get in there. I've got to throw my electrical hoo-ha on the floor. I know what's up. He's the man. I now worship at the feet of the Church of Tassadar. Oh, he's so great. Anyway, you know what's great about him? Let me tell you what's great about him.
Tell me what's great about him.
One of his skins is a... like a transformer. So he looks like a big robot, it's called the Mecha Tassadar skin. Now remember, Tassadar's like this, you know, higher up in the order of the whatever on the Protoss StarCraft world. Like he's, you know, very honor and light be with you and this kind of thing.
Right.
But he puts on this persona of like Starscream from Transformers, and his mount is he transforms into a jet plane instead of like on a horse or whatever, and drives around, flies around the map. It's amazing.
Really?
It's incredible.
All right.
And he says things like, Mecha Tassadar online.
Seriously?
Yeah. He sees Nova, you know, Nova from the StarCraft games, and says, I don't know you, but I feel like I should. And he talks like that. Like his voice is just all up high.
It feels like something so far out of... out of that lore.
Dude, it's all out of the lore. Are you kidding me? That
whole game is...
Yeah, you've seen Pajamather, right?
Yes.
Abathur and
okay,
Pajamas.
Okay, good point.
Yeah,
it's
all goofy all the time. Like, the one I think you would like a lot is Sonya, who's the barbarian.
She's the one who... Oh, never mind. I thought she was the one who could stealth on roller skates and stuff.
No, that's Nova.
Nova, okay.
Sonya's the barbarian from Diablo. Okay. And normally she's very barbarian-y, you know, lots of furry pants and, you know, whatever.
Sure.
But she has a skin you can buy that turns her into a superhero. So she looks like some combination of it, like 10 different X-Men and Captain America and like all these things.
Really?
And when she fights, little word bubbles with like bamf, pow, smack.
Oh, really? Really? Like the old Batman, 60s Batman.
So they love that stuff.
That's cool.
They love that stuff. Freaking Stitches has a beachwear skin where he's in a giant tube with an animal on it and like little tight little head.
Around his waist. Yeah.
Yeah, and like and floaties on his arms. It's amazing. That game is so good. Anyway.
It's not canon.
No, it's not canon. In fact, every time, this is a little interesting insight. I don't know this for sure. I didn't ask to be sure, but Chris Metzen with his time here for Nerdtacular, I said to him, yeah, and I think it came up in the show, too, but we talked about... I was always asking him, like, yeah, all bets are off on Heroes, right? Like, you know, this lore and all these characters and stories you've created, which most of those characters are his, you know? Mm-hmm. He just kind of had a look in his face like he doesn't necessarily... He loves that game is out and that it's doing well. I don't think he loves that all this weird stuff happens in it.
I can see that.
You know? Like,
what are you doing with my characters?
I feel like
he's supposed to be mean and menacing.
He's probably barely okay with, like, motorcycles in World of Warcraft.
Sure.
He's probably barely okay with, like, some of the robot-y stuff that goes on in that game and some of the sillier things. But this is just so far out there where he probably is just like, whatever. Also, Tassadar died in StarCraft II, Heart of the Swarm. Mm. But he lives with me now in this great new way. He's amazing. All right. Hey, Brian, did you see the Quentin Tarantino upcoming Hateful Eight trailer?
I did. Finally, one of these where I didn't know we were going to talk about it, but I did actually watch it.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Right behind Star Wars, my most anticipated game of the or movie of the year. I guess it's not this year. It's January 9th or something. But
I thought Christmas. It says Christmas in the thing.
Does it?
They may have.
IMDb's got the wrong date then. Let me just double check you. I think you're right. Oh, it did say Christmas.
Yeah.
Is that coming out same day as Star Wars?
Star Wars is is Star Wars December? I didn't think Star Wars. I thought Star Wars was November, wasn't
it? Star Wars Force Awakens. Is it Force Awakens?
Force Awakens.
Not Force Unleashed. That's a video game.
That's a video game, yeah.
Release date is December 18th, 2015. Okay. You're right.
So it's a week before. So you get your Star Wars, and you'll go see it a bunch of times that week, and then you'll get another week, and then you'll go see Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight on the 25th. Yeah, I'm beyond stoked and excited about Hateful Eight, and mainly because I'll see a Western kind of no matter what, but I really like the way Tarantino does this stuff, mm-hmm. and he was, like, as a filmmaker, he's always said his biggest inspirations are Westerns, so I'm very excited. This is the first time we've seen Kurt Russell in a Western probably since Tombstone.
Sure. Him and Samuel L. Jackson and Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Michael Madsen.
Tim Roth. doing his Beth Christoph Waltz impersonation.
Yeah. Walton Goggins.
Bruce. Right. Yeah, you get your Boyd Crowder in there.
Bruce Dern. Tim Roth being British. Oh, love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's already British, but he gets to be himself.
Right.
Yeah. It's
cool. It looks great. And it looks, I love any movie where you've got kind of a forced location where everyone is at, right? Yeah. Where they can't get out of, where they're kind of locked in together. Mm-hmm. I love that stuff.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. And he's called the Hangman. What's his name is. And that's great because the way that Samuel L. Jackson puts it, somebody, how'd it go on the line? I wish I had the thing.
If so-and-so catches you, you're dead. If such-and-such catches you, if the hangman gets you, you're going to hang.
It's really exciting. Anyway, that's coming out, so watch for that. I'm sure there'll be some very, very uncomfortable violence in it, but that's just,
Probably.
And who? Oh, so it's in the. It seems like it's cold and wintry in this Western. Who's got the feet out that Tarantino can stare at feet?
It'll have to be a dead person.
Yeah,
I'll
Jennifer
have to
Jason.
Take their socks and shoes off or something.
It'll be Jennifer Jason Leigh's feet. You watch.
Oh, of course, it'll have to be.
Yeah, you watch, man. It's coming. It's happening. Help, help! It's happening. George R. R. Martin says he does not know the ending of A Song of Ice and Fire yet. he has no idea how this is ending. He says, in a recent interview with The Observer, he said he intends to write a bittersweet ending, though he isn't positive yet what the ending will be. He says this, I haven't written the ending yet. I don't know why he's George Lucas. I've said before that the tone of the ending that I'm going for is going to be bittersweet. I mean, no secret that Tolkien has been a huge influence on me, and I love the way he ended Lord of the Rings. It ends with a victory, but it's a bittersweet story. All I can say is that's the kind of tone I'll be aiming for. Whether I achieve it or not, that will be up to people like you and my readers to judge.
And then Arya Stark and Daenerys Targaryen walk off together into the sunset.
Lesbian marriage for the first time in Westeros. Yeah, I don't know how that thing's going to end, but sure. Well, I mean, you know, hurry up, you slow-ass old man. Just... freaking write the book. What are you doing?
That's right.
He was at a Jets training.
Give those HBO folks something to veer away from. Come on, hurry up. Right.
Yeah, hurry up. Make them so they go so far afoot that they can't come back.
Right.
He was at a Jets training camp for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. And all I could think of was go home and write.
Why the Jets? Were the Jets training in New Mexico?
I don't know. He was just for the warmth,
probably.
He was wearing a Jets hat, and maybe he's a fan. I don't know.
Big fan of Vinny Testaverde. Really like him. I mean, put on a different hat.
Who's that guy at Nerdtacular? Always looks like him and dresses like him. What's his name?
Yeah, I don't know. I know the guy you're talking about. He cosplayed as him a couple years ago.
Jim Jensen, I think. I think he did this year, too.
Did he?
I think so. Lion King spinoff taps Rob Lowe as Simba. Gabrielle Union and James Earl Jones and more are coming to a Lion King spinoff.
What?
Not since 1994. So have we had a Lion King spinoff?
A spinoff?
A spinoff is what they're calling it. So here's your cast. Rob Lowe, Gabrielle Union, James Earl Jones, Max Charles, Atticus Schaefer. Great name. Atticus. Sarah Hyland, and they'll all lend their voices to the African savannah in Disney's upcoming television movie.
Made-for-TV Disney movie. This will be fantastic.
I don't know. Might be all right. The Lion Guard, Return of the Roar. Oh, I really don't like that. I don't like that.
No.
It's a spinoff of the beloved animated film The Lion King. At least six characters from the 1994 film will appear. Lowe will voice Simba opposite Union's Nala, while James Earl Jones and Ernie Sabella will reprise their roles from the movie as Mufasa and Pumbaa.
Because Jonathan Taylor Thomas is really hard to get a hold of these days.
Yeah, he's kind of...
his busy schedule.
Yeah. Well, he's in demand, Brian. Was that who that was? I guess it was, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? Yeah, that.
I think you're right.
Thought he was the voice of Simba.
I want to say you're right.
He's looking way different than he did in the Home Improvement days.
Let's see. Rafiki and Timon, played by Kerry Payton and Kevin Schoen, respectively, will also return to the kingdom, but only when in light touches. But that's not who played Timon.
Timon was... Timon was a producer's guy. It was
what's his name? The Birdcage.
Yes, right.
Danny Cherokee.
Chicken crap money.
Jerry Von Flattery. I don't know. I can't remember his name.
I'm just gonna have fun and just let you go with that.
I think someone Nathan Lane. Jeez.
Nathan Lane. Nothing. And I can't remember who was. Pumbaa, but Pumbaa's not coming back, so
no Pumbaa. Rafiki though was played by
Did Pumbaa die and I forgot.
The Pumbaa was played by Benson.
No. Benson was the bird.
No. Not the bird. The bird was the British actor.
Robert Guillaume was the
monkey.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was the monkey? Yeah, but not Pumbaa.
Yeah, but Rafiki is the monkey, isn't it?
Rafiki is the monkey. Pumbaa is the warthog.
Right. What I'm saying is that Rafiki is being played by someone named Kerry Payton who is not...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, gotcha.
Not Benson.
I'm still hung up on Pumbaa. What happened to Pumbaa?
Pumbaa is gone. They ate him. I don't know. He's
he
pork.
Didn't die, did he?
Well, look, my understanding is that lions eat boars.
Did you know that there was... Okay, so apparently there was a Lion King 1.5.
No.
And Lion King 2.
No.
Simba's Pride.
I did not know that.
Maybe Pumbaa died.
Did you know that Ferris Bueller played Pumbaa when he was an adult? Adult Pumbaa? Did you know
you
that?
You mean adult Simba.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, not. Yes. There is no adult Pumbaa. You know, maybe it's...
Like how many people are just giving up and switched off their...
That's really bad. Okay. I watched an old lady barf before.
Simba, Pumbaa, Rafiki, whatever.
I have a very specific memory of The Lion King when I saw it. So my daughter had just been born. Taylor was just born, 94. Mm-hmm. And we were at the movie theater, and I had to go to the bathroom. So I gave the baby to Kim, and I ran out to go to the bathroom. And as I was going out to the bathroom, a very old woman was throwing up in the hallway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just yakking in the hallway. And
that's weird. You
don't see that, do you?
You don't see old people throwing up.
No, you never do. Think about that for
that's
a second.
That's really a weird thought.
Have you ever seen an old lady throw up? And I can say yes to the one, but never otherwise. Even
just
in movies.
Just in a Zucker Brothers movie, I think. Or no, it was in Monty Python, Meaning of Life, during the wafer thin mint scene, the Mr. Creosote scene.
Right.
And he's throwing up, and then they cut to another couple, an old lady and a guy, and she goes, oh, please, Margaret. Something like that.
That movie still scars me.
I love that
movie. Grosses me out so much. Anyway, that's happening. Finally, some of China's pollution. Are you familiar with China? You know what they're up to, right? China?
Jeez, I know that they're exploding. Like, they had two warehouse explosions last night.
Oh,
that,
yeah, man. Did you see those videos, dude?
Yeah, it's insane.
Gross.
They look like China. Movie theater explosions.
Exactly.
I like China.
Yeah, maybe those are his factories.
China.
In China.
Hello, China.
I think if they were, we would have known about it. It would have been right there in the front of the news.
Yeah.
He was a real nice Chinaman that Joe and I met over in China.
Okay, great.
Oh my gosh. It's
Theodore.
Yeah.
China.
All right. Anyway, China. China. Their pollution is blowing over into our country. Check this out. Yeah. The eastern or the west coast. China's pollution is making its way across the ocean to the United States, according to new research. Report details ozone or smog, essentially, from China being blown by winds across the Pacific Ocean to the westernmost states, rather. Bringing with it negative health and environmental consequences, including irritation, of the respiratory system. One of the researchers who participated in the study quipped that China is essentially exporting its air pollution to the west coast of America. let's see. The issue revolves around tropospheric ozone, which I'd never heard of, which is the
real layer of the atmosphere or Star Trek layer of the atmosphere.
Oh, that sounds like a Daryl thing for sure, dude. Let's see. Smog is described as very strong, irritant, and respiratory. China's effort to reduce air pollution have, in many cases, been successful, and the nation has announced plans to cut down on total greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. So they're working on it, but in the meantime, it's blowing over here, man. Blowing over. And not like L.A. needs more of that. It's already a stinky poo hole.
Yeah, it is.
A quick reminder, today's episode has been brought to you by Braintree, code for easy online payments. If you're building a mobile app and searching for simple payments API solutions, check out Braintree. The V.0 SDK makes it easy to offer multiple payment types. Start accepting PayPal, Apple Pay, Bitcoin, Venmo, cards, and more, all with one single integration. It's so easy to use, even I could do it. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions absolutely fee-free, go to braintreepayments.com/morningstream. That's braintreepayments.com/morningstream. All right, what's the deal now? Now's the time we take a break. We come back in a minute. Before we do, though, Brian brought music. It's a song of some liking to our tastes. And,
it is.
You'll play it now. What do you got?
It's not a cover. Breaking the rules. Whoa. Hey, guys, says Curtis White. Just wanted to request a song to enjoy as I start my third round of chemo. On August 14th, 2015, that's tomorrow. You guys deliver an awesome show, and I can say I've heard every single one from the beginning. Brian, I leave it in your very capable hands to deliver a rockin' upbeat cover of your choice as I get injected for the first of a grueling 6 weeks. See you guys on the other side, and love the show, though. Signed, Curtis.
Okay, that guy has a great attitude, and I need to quit complaining about dumb stuff.
Totally, right?
Yep.
So, Curtis, good luck. Hope everything goes well, and we're pulling for you, man. I wanted something upbeat. This is something that I've just been listening to the hell out of. I've been playing the crap out of this because I'm totally digging it. When I was in Vegas this last weekend, we went to the Pinball Hall of Fame, which is a favorite place to go.
Yeah, I love it there.
And we went there with James and Svet of Same Sex Mary. And James and Svet gave us a ride back to our hotel. And on the way, I know James loves to do this. He plays stuff for me like, oh, yeah, you like this? This is Tame Impala. Or, you know, he was the first place I ever heard. Oh, crud, I can't remember. Alabama Shakes. First place I ever heard Alabama Shakes was like, you know, 3 months before they were on the radio. I heard him in James and Svet's car driving somewhere. And he did the same thing with this one, which is something brand new from Australian singer Courtney Barnett. Now, this is not a cover, but this is rockin', and this is, I've just been loving this album. This is the, I would say, the lead-off single of the album. It's called Pedestrian at Best. The album is called Sometimes I Sit and Think, and Sometimes I Just Sit. And it's really weird. You know, when you've got Australian artists, you usually don't hear the accent when they sing.
Yeah.
All that stuff kind of disappears. With this one, you totally hear it.
Weird.
Courtney Barnett and Pedestrian at Best.
I'm peaches and cream Barbie doll. Data and I Ken doll so separately.
Gorgeous. We girls can glow from head to toe. Right, Barbie?
Peaches and cream Barbie. Long, luscious stone. What a dream. All peaches and cream. We girls can do anything. Right, Barbie?
Peaches and cream Barbie doll comes with change around stroll and everything you see here. Ken doll sold separately. From Mattel.
911, emergency. What seems to be the trouble?
Vampires.
The Morning Stream. My bumhole hurts.
Should have that looked at. Can we get it checked out there, Fletcher? Jeez.
Spreads.
I really like that song. That was good.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, I want to check that whole album out now.
Rockin' punk sound.
Also, could James and Svet be nicer? Probably not.
No, I don't think it's possible.
They're great people.
They are. They're super, super, super cool. I got very limited time with them this trip, but I need to make one more trip out there to maintain my Pearl status with M Life. So it'll be like a quick weekend trip at some point. But
maintain your platinum status with Same Sex Mary.
That's right, exactly. Got to keep my Same Sex Mary players club card up to date.
I like that idea a lot.
Yeah.
Chat room, it's time for you to participate in the show. We often do emails and calls, and we'll still do those today. We have some emails coming up. But because we don't have Wendy today, and she's stuck in London without an internet connection, instead we're letting you call in and ask us questions, okay? And here's a number you can use. There's two ways to do it. You can call this number, or you can use the Skype thing, and we'll add you to the call. One way or the other, here's the number, 801-895-4724. You can call live right now. That's 801-895-I-RAGE.
801-895-I-RAGE. Yeah. Nice.
Isn't that great?
That is great.
Call the number. Ask us questions. Whatever you want. Whatever's on your mind. If you have a comment about something we've talked about, you have a thought about something that's happening. We had our first call and they hung up already. Why'd you hang up so
far?
Big wieners. Call back again. Keep that coming.
It's free if you use your minutes. If you use your...
Yeah.
Free if you call from work, as the old They Might Be Giants dial-a song service used to say.
That's true. And cell phones are all free now anyway, nationwide.
Pretty much.
So it should be fine. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this? Hello? Hello?
Aww.
Hello?
All right. Aww.
That person chickened out. Let's try this one. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is Corey, a.k.a. Marvin Skeleton.
Corey?
Hey, Corey.
How are you, man?
Just had a question for you guys. I kind of got called out by the kids. We always talk about the podcast we listen to, and whenever somebody was asking us the other day, the kids were kind of sitting there with us, and I mentioned that I had podcasts by friends, and I called you guys friends, I called Jerry and Schwood friends, and you know, we've met, we've hung out a couple times, and the kids completely called me out by saying, those are just people in Austin and in Denver and in Salt Lake. They're not your friends, they're just people on the internet. Should we refer to you guys as friends?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely you should, because...
Who is this again?
Here's the deal. And this is something I feel really strongly about, and something that we almost had to have, you know, 10 years of podcasting to figure this out. But it's the one thing that sets this medium apart from where it sprang, which was, you know, traditional radio or other kinds of media. Podcasting, at least in my case, and I think this applies to Brian and almost everyone I work with, is this not collaborative medium, but it's a medium where I get to engage with actual listeners and they get to engage with me. Unlike, say, you might have gotten lucky once and gotten a call through to Howard Stern, or you might have gotten lucky once and some, you know, some late night radio show they let you on, but you didn't really connect. You didn't really have a moment to find out what that person was really like or how those two might relate to each other. There was always this huge separation with some kind of big artificial wall between them. And what we have is different than that. We have events we can meet at. We have Nerdtacular designed specifically for that. But we also have opportunities like this where it's not just you calling and going, yeah, so the Bears suck this year. And we're going, all right, thanks, caller. Like, it's different than that. And so I think it's fair to say that we're friends.
Absolutely.
I mean, we may not be over at your house every other night, but we're, you know, I still think that doesn't mean we're not friends. So I think you tell your kids we're friends.
Basically, we don't do the show for our enemies.
Right. That's true.
That was explained perfectly. That's exactly how I explained it to them. So.
Well, good. It's a different world we live in now, and I'm telling you, those your kids and everyone's kids are going to grow up in a time where that engagement is a much more real thing across the board, whether it be YouTubers that they like a lot or whatever. There's going to be less separation and more connectivity. That is if the people making the content want that. Now, there's plenty who don't, and then therefore don't engage in that way. But I'm telling you, that is the most fulfilling thing about this. And Brian, do you agree? I mean, it's one of the
great
things.
I mean, the fact that when you introduced yourself and said, hey, you know, this Marvin Skeleton, I'm like, oh, I know exactly who that is. I see in the chat room all the time. Mm-hmm. I recognize the name. So that already is something way past acquaintances, right? It's like, oh yeah, I've interacted with you before, whether it's in print or in text or online or however. Nerdtacular, et cetera. So,
yeah, and you and I, listen, even Brian and I, Veronica and I, Tom and I, all of us and everyone that we all do things with each other, we all started as online acquaintances that engaged with each other. It's the same. True. It's the same thing. So it's not like we were all hanging out in the basement one day and said, let's start podcasting together. We had to find ourselves in the same way that these extended friendships grow up anyway. So anyway, great question, dude.
Very good question.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, thanks, guys.
Talk to you later, man. Goodbye, friend. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this? Hello? Turn your radio down. You're getting delayed.
I'll catch up in a second.
Hello?
And sir, hello.
Hello. Is this not up to your ear, sir? Goodbye.
Did you pocket dial us?
I don't know what happened. Hi, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is Gary Fisher, land guy.
Hey, land guy,
hey,
Gary Fisher.
How you doing, man?
I have learned with Gary Fisher that if there's ever a microphone available, he will grab it and get up and talk, and that is good.
Right.
I like it.
It's great, yes.
But, I realize I'm an attention junkie, but I realize that I'm in a room full of attention junkies, so if I can grab the mic first.
Hey, why not?
That's my prerogative.
Get it in while you can get it in. No pun intended. All right, go ahead. What?
Actually, I just wanted to compliment Coverville. I listened to yesterday's Coverville. Uh-huh. And the segue between is she really going out with him and the next song was a piece of art.
I saw you tweet about that, and I was perfect. I was thinking, I need to go back and listen to that segue. Like, just the fade between the two, huh? Was just nice.
Well, I mean, they were both exactly the same beat. I actually took a radio announcer course a long, long time ago, and trying to match that stuff up, well, I had two turntables and a microphone, without any of the. This was like 1978. But,
sure.
Best part of that is I don't think he was referencing.
I mean,
that
the ability to actually match the beat, and I wasn't really clear that the one song was over and the next song was starting. And
great!
It just really.
Oh yeah, because Got the Time opens with that that electronic boop 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 boop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Good.
Does she really? Am I thinking of the right song?
You're thinking of the right song. Is she really going out with him? I played the Sugar Ray cover on the episode yesterday.
Oh, nice. I need to catch up.
Which was good weird. The timing was kind of weird on some of the.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
It's different. It's definitely different. But cool. Well, thank you. Thanks for catching that and complimenting.
Always nice, Gary, to talk to you. Have fun. May all your Lantronics be white or something. I don't know what I'm saying.
May all your servers be printing.
Yes. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
Hi.
How are you doing, guys?
I'm doing good. Who's this? What's your name?
I'm Jess from chat room. So nice to meet you guys.
Well, hi. That's
cool.
Nice to have you on. What can we do for you?
So this is what my thought is, and I don't know if you guys would agree with me for the Valve players out there. I'm thinking that we're not getting Flight until BlizzCon. What do you guys think about that?
I think we get Flight. Awesome question. We'll answer it off here, so we're not hearing the car thing. I think that we get Flight before BlizzCon. In Warlords, there's no way they don't. I still hold with the theory that the new expansion comes out at BlizzCon, or at least
a playable
around it. Yeah.
Really? You think that quickly?
I think we get at least open beta by BlizzCon, at the very least early spring new game.
Wow.
I think that I am convinced the reason they announced at Gamescom and not at BlizzCon is because they're trying to up their speed.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically 2.5 months, right? Less than 3 months.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
Yeah.
I'd say we're going to get a playable demo at BlizzCon, beta, open beta a couple months later, and but we're going to get an Overwatch beta at BlizzCon too.
Absolutely. And I think we get either a major Diablo expansion at BlizzCon or an actual Diablo 4 announcement. I think that's what the big thing is.
Yeah, you haven't, I guess, nothing from Diablo since Reaper of Souls, and that was a couple of years ago.
Nothing as far as new paid content, like a bunch of patches and great content.
Right, but, and the PlayStation version was the big thing.
Sure, sure. So all of that stuff's been happening. They've been doing well. They've sold over 30 million units. They've been hiring weirdly lately, and I think they're setting themselves up for a big announcement. So we'll see. Sure. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hello, this is Alager, Zelody in Chattanooga.
Well, hello there. How are you?
Doing all right. I had a self-serving question for Brian.
Okay.
You are running El Capitan, right?
I am. I'm running it right here on this very MacBook Air to my right.
Have you tried it with your Wacom tablet? Because the rumors are it's working now.
Oh.
I haven't. The Wacom tablet we have is currently hooked up to... is currently hooked up to Tristan's computer for his art, but I didn't realize there were problems with it. Scott really is the one who needs to know that. So
I do need to know that. Is it? Was there a recent?
I'm asking for Scott.
Yeah. Did they just seed a new update or something? Or something must have changed.
Seems like Wacom
released a beta driver. So trying to see if anyone has actual experience with it yet.
That's a great question because I would want to know how it worked before I dove in. And I'm still hesitant on a couple of other things, but that's my major hang-up is getting that to work. Because once that works, I'm in Fat City, and I'm happy to move over if I know that's working fine. Because all the Adobe stuff is working. If I can get Wacom to do what it needs to do, then boom, El Capitan all the way for me. Because Yosemite...
Crunchitize me, El Capitan.
As far as I'm concerned, freaking Yosemite is Apple's Vista. I think it's basically not their best effort. So we'll see, but
if not there any.
Well, thanks for looking out for me, man. I appreciate that.
Oh yeah.
Let's see. We got another call here. Oh, it didn't add. Why? Oh, I must have barely missed it.
Ad?
No, a call that just came
through. Oh, gotcha. All right.
Let's see if we can add them to it. Can we add them? No, it only lets me call their phones back, which sucks. Because then it puts you on hold. We can't have that.
Right, yeah.
Oh, here comes a familiar face. It's Todd Whitehead, everyone. Hi, Todd.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Well,
I am still kicking.
Oh, good.
Crunchy there at the beginning. You sound great now, though.
But now, now you're smooth and creamy.
Thank you. I've always wanted to be smooth and creamy. I go to the Takei School of Vocal Dictation.
Oh, good. Well, I mean, oh, my is what I meant to say.
Oh, my.
What's on your mind?
So, quick question for Brian. Were you aware that Coverville Kitty was trying to tear the TMS logo off the wall?
Oh, we missed it.
Again, she was? Really?
Here, yes.
Is it the little bee down there? The little bee umlaut thing you got hanging off?
Something is tempting her to be.
She's leaving the bee alone lately. Was she like, well, I don't see any damage, so. Hmm.
So, question-wise, so you guys have become well acquainted with the bingo card.
Yes.
Yes.
I want each of you to design a square for the other. So, Scott... describe a square for Brian for Scott.
Well, I love it. This may be something that already exists, so hopefully not. But if I was to do one for Brian, oh man, that's hard.
You want me to go first?
Okay.
Oh, you think?
I know, I got one.
Okay.
Brian does an accent that surprises Scott with its amazing accuracy. That's a good one. I don't think that's on the board yet.
Like an accent or impersonation?
An impersonation or accent. You'll do like somebody's voice, and then I'll go, oh my gosh, what the hell? You never did that one. But like that always surprises me, and I feel like that happens enough that would be a good square.
All right.
What would yours be?
Mine would be what? And not the Daryl what, but it's the what that Scott does when he's reading something, and he catches himself saying it wrong. So cantaloupe, what?
So if I was reading, China's pollution is making its way across, what? Oh, the ocean, like that? Is that it?
Like there's a voice in your head saying, no, stop,
dang
stop,
it.
You're doing it wrong.
I guess I do that. Yeah, what can I tell you? It's always good to hear from you, dude. How's the Indiegogo going? People should go there. You have a short URL for this. People should go.
Yeah, it's tinyurl.com/alphageekupgrade. We're in the home stretch. Sphincter time, as Brian has described it. it's within striking distance. We can do this.
You know what we should do? Eat. We should start a crowdfunding site called Sphincter Time.
There you go.
That is nothing but the last... It only lasts 7 hours, and you have to ask for at least $10,000. And
right. Let's see if Sphincter Time...
Oh, I don't want to know about what sphinctertime.com is,
dude.
Oh geez,
Sphincter Time.
It's an Apple Watch abuse site.
terrible. You went to a terrible place. That was a terrible place. Is it available? Can we get it?
That does not appear to exist.
All right. Get on it. Someone's literally squatting on that domain. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Whoa, beautifully
we'll be here
done.
All week. We'll be here all week. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hello. Hey, this is Sean from Michigan.
Well, hello, Sean from Michigan. Holding down the fort out in Michigan.
Yep. Wow, actually kind of glad I got through. Anyway, my question was, so I recently started a podcast. I won't, it'll be unnamed since you don't want any promotional stuff on this. But anyway.
Well, you can totally say the name.
Your question, we'll let you
yeah,
plug
yeah, yeah, well, you get a free plug if this question's good.
Okay. Well, it's called The Part-Time Gamers by Caffeine Induced Productions. It's a gaming general gaming podcast about video games, board games, stuff like that.
Cool.
You guys obviously have a little bit of an experience with podcasting, so I figured if there's any one aspect of the podcast that you guys find really essential and makes the podcast stand out from the rest, what do you guys think that would be?
I have an answer to that.
Sure, go ahead.
And then I want to hear yours. Mine is finding your voice and being true to it, meaning not trying to be too concerned or overly concerned with matching what you think people's expectations of who you are, what you sound like, or what you're. And I don't just mean the sound of your voice. I mean
what you say.
Yeah, there's one thing in this life that you can count on, and that is every single one of us, all 7 billion of us, are absolutely unique from each other. We may find some similarities, but like snowflakes, there's not one alike. Mm-hmm. And because you have that unique imprint on your personality, that's the thing you should show. Now, it may turn out that when you're making a show that your personality, I'm not saying you, but that's just, you know, somebody out there hypothetically has a terrible personality and that doesn't work and no one cares and won't listen. That's entirely possible. But I'm still just a huge believer in finding what that is and letting it out and not being afraid to be the thing you are. And that's usually what people will find appealing about you. So that sounds a little esoteric and kind of philosophical, but I really believe in it. And so that's mine. Brian, what would you say?
God, that's such a great answer that any answer I give is going to pale in comparison.
Have a good microphone and a mixer that's good.
Right. You know, basically having something, make sure that what you're podcasting about is something you're passionate about. Board games, video games, sounds like, you know, it's easy to get passionate about that stuff. So I can tell that you're, you know, a big fan of that stuff. Find the things about that you're passionate and excited about and make sure that those always stay forefront in the show. And that's something that will always, always keep the feel of the show alive. It'll always keep the energy fresh for you, as opposed to making it feel like a job.
Yeah.
Like if every episode of Coverville, there's like, you know, I'll play a dozen songs or 18 songs and not all of them are going to be like, oh, I'm listening to this 10 times a day. I love the song so much, but there'll be one or two in there that I'm like, oh, I can't wait for people to hear this song. I can't wait for people to hear what people think of this one. I can't wait for Gary to hear the segue that I'm going to put between, is she really going out with him?
Oh, and you will hear one way or the other. We will hear from Gary. He'll let us know.
That's right.
Yeah.
But another recommendation, by the way, and it's funny because I don't plug this nearly as much as I probably should, but there is a magazine, a monthly online magazine you can get through the iTunes, iBooks, or whatever. I mean, I think it's just Newsstand called Pottertainment.
Mm.
Horrible name. Okay.
From
horrible
Gary
name,
Pickleman. Yeah. Pickleman
but,
guy.
But I write an article in there every month, as do a bunch of other podcasting folks. A lot of the early Ontario folks, really, is the people I'm seeing in this list.
Yeah.
And it's funny because every month I think, oh crap, what am I going to write about? And then something will happen in a show and I'll be like, oh, that's actually kind of the perfect thing to write about this month. So pick it up. I mean, it's, you know, I know there's a cost to it, but I think it's a really good resource. I check it out myself and I learn something new, you know, every issue. And,
The only other thing I would say is if you're going to work with somebody, let's say you're doing like we are with a show where it's a two-man effort, right? Always go.
Well, I'm hoping to have at least me and two other people.
Okay, perfect.
Actually, trying to find another host.
Well, here's the deal. Always go with your gut. Not only when picking your co-hosts, but also when it comes to actual show content, your instincts are good and you should trust them in terms of when to throw it to somebody, what the rhythm is, what needs to change. When you think something's a little goofy, don't be afraid to say something, because usually your gut instincts are going to be correct. And go with the gut of your co-hosts. So sometimes Brian will have a thing and I'll go, wait, that doesn't jive with where my head is right now. But stopping, thinking about that and going, I also have to trust Brian's instincts. And then I'm always right about that, or whoever it is.
Wow.
And sometimes, you know, it's not going to be perfect every time. Like when you have a big show, like the instance has got like four of us, five of us sometimes. And sometimes those instincts can be difficult to hear in the noise, but even then it counts. And people always ask, how do you keep it so tight and have the, you know, everything running on time and all this stuff? And I think it's partly just knowing when to trust what you need to do and knowing when to trust what your co-hosts need to do, especially if you're behind the, you know, the control center and trying to make the thing run. I think that finding that balance, it's, again, esoteric and kind of philosophical, but if you can find it, that is a really great place to be, because then you're doing less editing, you're more efficient, you're making more content, you're on time more, like all of those things start to fall in line.
Yeah.
So I hope I hope you wrote all that down while you were driving.
not so much, but you guys make my workday significantly less terrible.
Oh, well, thanks, man. I'm glad to hear that. Have fun at work today. It sounds like a great place. Bye now. That's it for phone calls. Thank you for doing that. That's fun. Oh, you know, I never did. I never freaking clicked this even once.
Call now.
It's like our theme.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
What a dumbass.
That's all right. That's okay.
Didn't go.
People knew what to do. They figured it out.
We're going to do some emails to take us out today, because we do like to give time to those who spent time penning written words, and they're brought to you by
yogurt and Cheerios. Okay. I had yogurt and fresh Palisade peaches yesterday.
That sounds all right.
It's great. Picked up Palisade peaches on the drive back as we passed through Fruta, Grand Junction in Fruta, Colorado.
Fruta. I like
Fruta.
That.
Yeah. There's a city called Fruta.
That's better than Fillmore Beaver.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe not.
We stopped in Beaver also and got lunch.
Yeah, or the Beaver Liquor Store. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah.
No airport there, just a landing strip.
I had the yogurt we like from Costco. I think you get it too.
Yes.
What's that kind called? Crap.
Well, the one we get has a little picture of a Greek god on it. I can't remember what the name of it is, though.
Yes, and he's got, it's almost like a Caesar looking dude.
Yes. Yep.
And it's, we get the honey. There's a,
yes, that's the one I get too.
Honey tinged.
Goes with everything.
Everything. And here's my recommendation. Yogurt, a little bowl of yogurt, just your, you know, serving size, and then sprinkle all over the top of that thing, Honey Nut Cheerios.
Wow, I've got both of those things. I will put them together and enjoy them.
You really should. I had that this morning, and I am going to do that again. It was really good. Dear Sting and Bee, writes Sean, okay. You mentioned on yesterday's show that you woke up with a bee in your mouth. Did you ever stop to think the bee may have woken up equally put out by having a Scott Johnson on its back? Scrub Mr. Frodo, Sean. Well, you know, as much as I try to look at things from other perspectives, I didn't want to kill him, but he wanted to kill me with his sting. Isn't that the deal? They sting you because they want to kill you or stop you.
Well, because they feel threatened.
Yeah.
So he really just thought, oh, here, this might be a good place to hang out for a while. I don't think he fell asleep and landed in your mouth.
Yeah.
And then woke up.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
There's a difference in the story. Fallacy of comparison here.
That's right.
Bees, I think bees have been one of the slowest creatures on Earth to figure shit out. Like, they're just still doing the same dumb stuff. Same with flies. All the little flying sort of don't have very long life bugs. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, no grandparent is passing down wisdom to the younger generations. It's like, don't go where those people are and land in their mouth while they sleep. That's been trouble for centuries. No, they still just do it. Right? Don't land on the counter in the kitchen by the fruit. They've got giant plastic things they'll smack you with. Like, they don't know.
But they don't have any way to pass that information down, because if that happens to them, it's too late.
They need to keep records or have somebody in charge of that, or something needs to, sentient something needs to happen in the bug kingdom.
Yeah, but the need for food supersedes all others, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, we went out and chased the animals down that were killing us and ate them when we lived in caves.
Yeah.
Just figured out better tools. So that's what the bees are doing. They're working on better tools to take us out so they can get to that fruit.
Just feel like the revolution's been a little stunted. That's all. Greg wrote in, says, the DTNS pick of the day on episode 2555 introduced a podcast URL extractor called itunes.so-nick.com. Hmm. Now, here's what's great, Brian.
It's a podcast URL extractor.
Yeah, so basically, I'm going to go to it.
Okay.
Clicking it. Here we go. And it's checking it. Go to that, dude.
Okay, I'm there right now.
Look at the default.
Oh, look at that. Enter your search terms. Example, the morning stream.
The morning stream. Enters the URL. Like they used us as their example to pull
out the
URL extractor.
I'm going to type in our example in search because I still don't understand what this does.
I think it just gives you the RSS, I think. Oh, no, it doesn't. It gives you...
Oh, yeah, there you go. It does give you the XML feed.
Yeah, it gives you the XML feed. So it's a way to not use iTunes, but use iTunes directory to get the XML file so you can just...
Oh, well, you know, there was an email yesterday from somebody who spelled it Nick with N-I-K. Mm-hmm. Let me scroll down here. Wasn't it Nick? Maybe it was the 11th. Sorry, I'm curious. There we go, right there. On the 11th, we read an email from somebody named Nick who spelled it N-I-K. Mm,
yeah.
Asking if we upgraded El Capitan. Mm. This could be the same Nick, right?
Oh, very well could be, yeah. And his name's... Where is it? Is it Nick? No, it's Greg who sent this.
Greg. Well, no, yeah. So sent this in, but I'm thinking since the URL is so-nick.
Oh, meaning it could be that guy, right?
Right.
Nick may have made the website. Yeah, entirely possible. Sorry. But I just thought that was a nice little trick.
Yeah. So. Anyway, you're awesome. Thank you for whoever is out there listening to us who creates that, because it's got to be a listener.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really dig the love. I really dig the use of it. Actually, that's very useful especially if you're using iTunes does one thing really, really well when it comes to podcasts, and that is it's just huge directory service.
Yeah,
that is almost unparalleled. So if you just need to get the RSS and import it into an app that's not supported or whatever, that's a great way to find it.
That is a good way. Yeah, and somebody says, "Oh, yeah, you got to check out the show What You Learned in History" or something like that. Mm-hmm. You could go to iTunes and do it that way. You could go right into your podcast aggregator app, or you could go to this and say, "All right, what is the URL for that?"
Yeah, because the only other quick way to get the RSS, I think, is to go to people's websites where they've listed them. I don't think iTunes makes it easy.
Right, you don't get that out of iTunes. Yeah,
that's really cool. So they've tapped into some API thing. Finally, Mark, who says, "Hardly ever in the tadpole," wrote in. "Hi, Scott. Why do you sometimes replace the word that with what?" For instance, on Wednesday's show, you talked about watching Stardust and how the lead character, this is a quote, "the lead character is the actor what plays Daredevil. Is this some kind of old-timey phrase? What's up with that? Love the show, though, Mark." All right, I feel like we've answered this before, but it's time to do it again.
Sure.
It is purely me being obnoxious.
It is old-timey stuff.
It is, and it's not the way I talk. It's not the way I really speak.
Yeah.
So when Brian and I are talking...
It's what does it?
Yeah, or I say, "Brian, we need to go down to the Walmart." Like, I would never say "down to the Walmart," but I say it because... I think it's funny. And the same reason I say this other thing was like, Nerdtacular, that's that conference, what has Veronica at it? Mm-hmm. You know, like it just sounds like some old-timey kind of hayseed idiot saying it.
Right, exactly.
And I like it. I like the way it sounds. It rolls. It's just more fun to say.
He's a young fellow what works at the gas station.
You know, that lady up there, she's the one what made the jelly. Like that.
Exactly.
I love that. So,
it is funny.
It is
You're
funny.
You're right.
See, you laughed. You laughed at it.
I did.
And you've been here a lot. You know how not funny all this is.
I've experienced this business up close.
Anyway, thank you for all your emails, Mark, Greg, and Scrub McFrodo, for your emails. If you'd like to send your own into the show, themorningstream@gmail.com is the email address. Frogpants.com/TMS is our link. Oh, for those wondering where Cleo is, Cleo has requested a leave of absence for a while. She's extremely busy with a couple of things.
Sure.
And said, "Hey, I'll be back to it, but for now I need a break." So we said, "Okay, no problem." That doesn't mean we need people trying out for the role. Everyone just calm down. We're just going to let that go for a while, all right? Just let it go for a while. What else? 801-471-0462 is where you leave your voicemail messages. That's 801-471-0-GOB. On Twitter, Morning Stream, Coverville, Scott Johnson, and... our new redoubled effort to get you over to our Reddit. It's frogpants.reddit.com. Tonight, there'll be a brand new episode of the show that is the PM edition at 4:30 PM. We'll be here live doing it again. We have really great plans for that. Describe to the folks how we're doing the segments, kind of why we're doing it, how it worked, because we promised we would. All that. Do you remember, Brian, what's the deal?
What the deal is with the show tonight?
Yeah, how are we doing that? What are we structuring?
You and I are going to go through the list of many, many comments on the the post on the Facebook, on the Tadpool page. So basically, we promised that if we won the podcast awards, we would do a special TMS with segments submitted by listeners' ideas. So things like a skit where Brian plays George Takei and Scott plays Sean Connery at the podcast awards as special guest judges, for example. Might be one we do.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be one bit after another. But we do have, you know, we are going to have news. I assume we'll have maybe a guest visit by Dan the Board Game Man.
I haven't talked to Dan. Maybe.
Okay. All right. Well, if he does, he'll be part of this too. And if he doesn't, that's fine too.
Yeah, yeah. One way or the other, I think we could have some real fun with this. So come on back for that. That is brought to you by patreon.com/TMS, where you can support us if you haven't yet considered it. Many have, and we appreciate them so much. Even if you just give a little, it can really help the show continue to thrive and survive. So thank you guys for your support there. I think that's going to do it. We'll see you guys at 4:30. Brian, let's play some music to get him out of here.
Certainly. Missy wrote in and said, hi, Scott and Brian. Today is my boyfriend Justin's birthday. He listens to you every day and quickly got me hooked too. His favorite band is Coheed and Cambria. So if you could play a cover by them or one of their songs, I would really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Happy birthday, Justin. I love you. You're my favorite. Signed, Missy. Aww.
That's sweet.
It is sweet. Yeah. So a cover of or by Coheed and Cambria. You know, my best knowledge or my best connection with Coheed and Cambria is that song that was on the, was it Welcome Home, that was in Rock Band?
Oh.
That monster track.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I think so.
But they've also contributed to a couple of tribute albums, including one for ZZ Top back in 2011. How about a Coheed and Cambria cover of a ZZ Top song? This one is called Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers. And this is awesome. And it's another great driving song. So here you go. Coheed and Cambria, Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers.
See you guys tonight, 4:30. Be there. Bye.
With
is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Le Dick.